Gherkin Radio Theater presents Escape, the Most Dangerous Game.
My name is Rainsford. You may have heard of me. I make my living hunting big game for many of the major museums of the world, guiding parties of sportsmen on safari in Africa, Tibet, and South America. Perhaps you've had occasion to run across some of my books. But even if you have, there's one incident you won't find described in them. The full story of my most terrible hunt. It all began on board a private yacht, en route to Rio. Whitney, my host, and I were smoking our pipes on deck, lounging back in steamer chairs, enjoying the sensuous drowsiness of the warm night.
Good dinner, eh?
Excellent. Afraid I ate too much, though.
Care for some, gin rummy?
Oh, no. I don't care to move.
All right. There's a rather large island off there to the right somewhere. It's, something of a mystery.
Really? Oh, I didn't know. What island is it?
The old charts call it Ship Trap Island. A suggestive name, isn't it? Sailors have a curious dread of the place. Some superstition.
I can't see it.
Well, you have good eyes, but even you can't see 4 miles or so through a moonless Caribbean night.
No, not even 4 yards. It is dark, isn't it?
It'll be light enough in Rio. And by the way, I hope the guns come in from Purdy. We should have some good jaguar hunting up the Amazon. Great sport hunting.
Ah, best in the world.
Well, yeah, for the hunter, not for the jaguar.
Oh, why not? They've no understanding.
Even so. I rather think they understand one thing. Fear. The fear of pain. The fear of death.
Oh, rot, Whitney. Who cares how the jaguar feels?
Perhaps the jaguar does.
Oh, you're a big game hunter. Not a philosopher. Look, the world is made up of two classes. The hunter, the hunted. We're lucky enough to be the hunters. You think we passed that island yet?
I can't tell in the dark. I hope so.
Why?
That place has a reputation. A bad one.
Cannibals?
Hardly. Even cannibals wouldn't live in such a isolated spot. But it's gotten into the sailors' legend somehow. Did you notice? The crew seemed jumpy today.
Yeah, they were a bit strange now that you mention it.
Yeah, it's a sort of a dread. Kind of a mental chill. I'll be hanged if I haven't felt it myself.
Ha! Oh, pure imagination. Why, one superstitious sailor can infect a whole ship's company with his fear.
Maybe. Though sometimes sailors have an extra sense which tells them when they're in danger. Well, enough of that. I think I'll turn in.
Oh, I'm not sleepy. I'll just have another pipe.
Good night, then. See you in the morning.
Yes. Good night, Whitney. It was very dark. So dark I could have slept without closing my eyes. The night would have been my eyelids. I puffed at my pipe. Got drowsy. Then I was wide awake. A gun. Out there in the water. A gun. I sprang to the rail, strained my eyes in the direction of those shots, but I couldn't see a thing. I leapt up on the rail to get better elevation, and my pipe striking the rope was knocked out of my mouth. I lunged for it, and tight fingers closed around my heart as I realized I'd reached too far, and lost my balance.
Oh!
The blood-warm waters of the Caribbean closed over my head. The wash from the speeding yacht slapped salt water into my mouth, making me gag and strangling me. I coughed and spat it out and found my voice.
Help! 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 Ah!
The lights from the boat moved steadily away. They quickly became faint fireflies. And then they were blotted out by the night. I struggled out of my clothes and turned to the direction from which I'd heard those shots. I began swimming, slowly, conserving my strength. For an endless time, I fought the sea. Then I began to count my strokes, that I couldn't possibly do another 100 before. Someone was shooting game, almost at my very elbow, it seemed. Gaining fresh vitality, I swam towards that sound. Then I was in the breakers. In another moment, I was dragging myself from the swirling waters, pulling myself hand over hand onto the narrow beach, gasping, panting for breath. I saw that the dense jungle came down from the edge of the cliff, and I was on land, on blessed land, safe on the soft, warm sand. I woke late in the afternoon, a sharp hunger picking at me. As I slowly came to my feet, I saw not far from where I'd been laying, signs of a terrible struggle in the underbrush that sloped so sharply to the beach. Some wounded thing, evidently a large animal, had thrashed about there in its death fright. Almost at my feet was a small glittering object. An empty cartridge, from a .22. That was odd. The hunter had had his nerve to tackle a large brute with so small a gun. I examined the ground closely and found what I'd hoped for. The print of a hunting boot. They pointed up towards a recess in the cliff, and I hurried quickly after them, for the night was beginning to settle on the island. It was already dark when I came upon it. First, I thought it was a village. There were so many lights. But as I came closer, I saw that all the lights were in one building. A chateau on a high bluff. In a few moments, my bare feet were padding up stone steps, and I stood in front of a massive oaken door. Good evening. Please, don't be alarmed. There's no need for that gun. I'm no robber. It sounds silly, but I fell out of a yacht. My name is Sanger Rainsford of New York City. He was certainly not alarmed by me. This giant who stood facing me, the revolver in his hand continued to point steadily at my chest. The man behind it was solidly built and black-bearded to the waist. Silent. He waved me in with the gun and closed the door behind me. I was in a huge hall, but there was no time to look around. Another man was coming down the broad marble stairs. An erect, slender man in evening clothes. I stepped towards him.
I've just been explaining to this chap that I've had an accident. My name is Sanger Rainsford.
It is great pleasure. An honor to welcome Mr. Rainsford. Celebrated hunter to my home.
Well, thank you.
I've read your book on hunting snow leopards in Tibet. I am General Zarov.
Believe me, General, I am very happy to see you.
It is all right, Ivan. You can put gun down. This gentleman is guest. Ivan is an incredibly strong fellow, but he has misfortune to be mute. A simple thing, but a bit of savage.
I'm even happy to see him.
Come, we should not be chatting here. You want clothes, food, rest. You shall have them. This is most restful spot.
I can't tell you how grateful I am.
It is my pleasure. Follow Ivan, if you please, Mr. Rainsford. I was about to have dinner, but it can wait. I think my clothes will fit you.
I followed the man into a huge beam-ceiling bedroom, with a canopy bed large enough for six men. Ivan silently laid out an evening suit. As I put it on, I noticed it came from a London tailor. And Whitney had called this place too isolated, even for cannibals. I went downstairs and sat down opposite Zarev, in a dining room that suggested a baronial hall of feudal times. The food was excellent.
Perhaps you were surprised that I recognized your name, but you see, I read old books on hunting, published in English, French, and the Russian. I have but one passion in life, and that is the hunt.
Why, I noticed you have some wonderful heads here. That Cape Buffalo over there is the largest I've ever seen.
Oh, that fellow, yes. He charged me, threw me against tree, fractured my skull, but I got the brute.
Oh, I've always thought the Cape Buffalo the most dangerous of all big game.
No, the Cape Buffalo, he is not most dangerous.
No?
Here in my preserve, on island, I hunt more dangerous game.
Why? Is there big game on this island?
The biggest.
Really?
Oh, it is not here naturally. I had to stock island.
Oh, what have you imported, General? Tigers?
No. Hunting tigers, it ceases to interest me when I exhaust their possibilities. There is no thrill left in tigers, no real danger. I live for danger. Cigarette, Mr. Rainford.
Oh, please.
We will have capital hunting, you and I.
But what game?
I'll tell you. You will be amused, I know. I think I may say in all modesty that I have done a rare thing. I've invented new sensation. May I pour you another glass of port, sir?
Oh, thank you.
I have been hunter all my life, but after many years of enjoyment, I found that hunt no longer fascinated me. It had ceased to be what you call a sporting proposition. I always got my quarry. Always. And there is no greater bore than perfection.
Oh, then you were a very good hunter, General.
No. No. I had merely discovered that animal has nothing but his legs and his instincts. Instinct is no match for reason. When I realized this, it was a tragic moment for me. As I told you, I love to hunt. And then it came to me as inspiration what I must do.
And that was?
I had to invent a new animal to hunt.
A new animal? Why? You're joking.
I assure you, I am not, sir. A new animal, and so I found one. I bought this island, this house. And here I do my hunting. The island is perfect for my purpose. There are jungles with maze of trails in them, hills and swamps.
And the animal, General Zarov?
It supplies me with the most intense excitement of all. I never grow bored now, for I have a quarry which I can match my wits. An ideal quarry with courage, cunning, and above all, reason.
But no animal can reason.
My dear fellow, there is one that can.
I can't believe you're serious. Why, this is some grisly joke.
Of course I am serious. I'm speaking of hunting.
You're speaking of murder.
Surely your experiences in the war
did not make me condone cold-blooded murder.
I'll wager you forget your notions when you go hunting with me. Why, you've a genuine new thrill in store for you, Mr. Rainsford.
Thank you. I'm a hunter, not a murderer.
Oh, dear me. That unfortunate word again. But I hunt the scum of Earth. Sailors from tramp ships, lascars, and mongrels.
Where do you get them?
This island is called Ship Trap. There is a row of lights out there on the reef, which indicate a channel. Where there is none. Only rocks. I control lights from my tower.
You wreck their ships and then shoot down the men.
But I treat my visitors with every consideration. They get plenty of good food and exercise. They get into splendid physical condition. You shall see for yourself tomorrow. Would you like more port? Please.
What shall I see tomorrow?
We'll visit my training school. It is in cellar. I have about a dozen there now. Sailors. Inferior lot. I regret to say, more accustomed to deck than the jungle. Ivan, we have coffee now. Thick Turkish coffee, Mr. Rainsford. Very good.
No.
Is your appetite quite gone?
No coffee, thank you.
Just the one, Ivan. It is game, you see. I suggest to one of them that we go hunting. I give him 3 hours start. I am to follow armed only with pistol, of the smallest caliber and range. My quarry eludes me for 3 whole days. He wins the game. If I find him, he loses.
And if he refuses to be hunted?
Oh, I give him the option. If he will not hunt, I turn him to Ivan here. Ivan once served as official executioner to Great White Tsar, and he has his own ideas of sport. Invariably, they choose the hunt.
And if they win?
To date, I have not lost. I don't wish you think me braggart. One almost did win. Eventually, I had to use the dogs.
The dogs?
Yes. Just step over here to the window a moment, eh? I want you to see my courtyard. Go ahead, Mr. Rainsford. Open window, please. I have a dozen, as you can see. They are let out at 7 every night. If anyone should try to get into my house, or out of it, well, it would be regrettable. And now I want to show you my new collection of heads. Will you come with me to the library?
I hope you'll excuse me tonight. I'm really not feeling at all well.
Oh, I am sorry. You need good restful night's sleep. Tomorrow, you'll feel like new man, and then we'll hunt, eh? I have one rather promising prospect.
But I was already hurrying from the room and up the marble stairway. I heard him calling after me.
Sorry you can't go with me tonight. I expect rather fair sport. Big strong native from west coast of Africa. He looks resourceful.
The bed was good. I was tired, but I didn't sleep. I didn't toss or turn. I didn't move. I just lay rigidly in one spot. My eyes on the ceiling, my arms tight against my sides. My breathing slow and heavy. My mind empty. Waiting. Waiting. The inky black was just beginning to dissolve. A thin line of gray was just beginning to seep insidiously into my room. When Zarov found his quarry. Then I suppose I slept. When I woke, the sun's shadows were already slanting through my room. Must have been well afternoon. I came down to find General Zarov pouring himself a glass of brandy by the sideboard.
Ah, Mr. Rainsford. Feeling better, I trust?
Yes.
I wish I could say same. No, I am not well. Hunting was no good last night. He made straight trail. Offer no problems at all.
General, I want to leave the island at once.
Mr. Rainsford, tonight we will hunt, you and I.
No, General, I've told you, I will not hunt.
I beg you to reconsider. My idea of sport is much more diverting than Ivan.
You mean that?
Yes, you and I. It's a really inspiration, a foreman worthy of my steel at last. Oh, you'll find this game worth playing, Rainford. Your brain against mine. Your woodcraft against mine. Your strength and stamina against mine. Outdoor chess and the stake is not without value, eh?
And if I win?
If I do not find you by midnight on third day, then I am defeated. My sloop will place you on mainland near a town. Oh. You can trust me. I give you my word, as gentleman and sportsman. Of course, you in turn must agree to say nothing of your visit here.
I'll agree to say nothing of the kind.
Well, in that case, why discuss it now? 3 days from now, we can chat about it over Vauve Clicquot. Unless, and listen, Rainsford, Ivan will supply you with hunting clothes, food, and knife. I suggest you wear the moccasins. They leave poorer trail. I suggest, too, you avoid Big Swamp in southeast corner of island. There's quicksand there. And you'll want to start, no doubt. I shall not follow until dusk. Hunting at night is so much more exciting than day. Don't you think, Mr. Rainsford? Good hunting.
I kept telling myself through tight teeth that I had to keep my head. Keep my head. My first idea had been to put distance between myself and Zarov. So I plunged into the jungle in a blind panic. Before long, I shook it off and stopped. Straight flight was futile. It would only bring me out to the sea. Then I hit upon the idea of giving him a trail to follow. I would begin our dangerous game by playing the fox.
For more than 2 hours, I went through the trackless wilderness, executing a series of intricate loops, doubling again and again on my trail. Night found me leg weary with hands and face lashed by the branches. I needed rest badly. And having played the fox, I decided now to play the cat. I climbed into the crotch of a huge tree. An apprehensive knight crawled slowly by, like a wounded snake. Then, at dawning, a startled bird suddenly screamed, and I flattened against a bough. Through a screen of leaves as thick as a tapestry, I saw the general. He came slowly, his eyes fixed on the ground. Almost beneath my tree, he paused and went down on one knee, studying the ground. I would have gone for him, leaping the way a panther does, except for the small automatic in his right hand. After a seemingly endless time, he came back to his feet. His eyes left the ground and traveled inch by inch up the tree. I froze, every muscle tensed for a spring. And the hunter's eyes stopped just before they reached the limb on which I lay. A slow smile spread over his brown face.
Oh, Rainsford, where can you have gone? Wherever are you, you clever dog? I think we must go home now and lie down. Think a bit till this is over.
The pent-up air burst hotly from my lungs as he turned back and disappeared. So, the general was playing with me. Was saving me for another day's sport. Zaroff was the cat and I was the mouse. In that moment, I knew the real meaning of terror. I slipped from the tree and set off into the woods. I'd only gone a few hundred yards when I found a huge dead tree, leaning against a smaller living one. I pulled my knife from its sheath and set to work. When the job was finished, I threw myself down behind a log 100 feet away. How long I waited, I don't know. It seemed like days, though it was probably only a few hours. Then he was coming again, with the sureness of a bloodhound. Nothing escaped those searching black eyes. No crushed blade of grass, no bent twig. No mark, however faint in the moss. He was so intent on his stalking. He was upon the thing before he saw it, his foot touching the protruding branch that was the trigger. The dead tree, delicately adjusted to rest on the cut living one, crashed heavily to the earth. And I waited, yet another moment, not daring to look up and see if it really had done its work.
Rainsford! If you are within sound of voice, let me congratulate you. There aren't many men who know how to make melee man catcher. I am lucky man. Rainsford. My reflexes, they still good. Did you see me spring back, even while it was falling? Rainsford, can you hear me? You are proving interesting. I am going back now to have my wound dressed. Well, don't be alarmed. It is only a slight one. I shall be back. I shall be back.
It was dark, and I'd been going for hours. The vegetation became ranker. Insects were biting me savagely. Then, when mud began sucking viciously at my feet like giant leeches, I knew where I was. About to enter the dense swamp with its quicksand. However, the softness of the earth gave me an idea. I stepped back about a dozen paces out of the quicksand and began to dig. When the pit was above my shoulders, I climbed out. And from some hard saplings, I cut stakes, sharpening them to a fine point. I planted the stakes at the bottom of the pit with their points up. With flying fingers, I wove a rough carpet of weeds and branches, and with it, I covered the mouth of the pit. Then, wet with sweat and aching with tiredness, I crouched behind the stump of a lightning-blasted tree. I heard the padding sound of feet on the soft earth. I knew he was coming. The night wind brought me the perfume of the general's black cigarette. though I could see nothing. It seemed to me that he was coming with unusual swiftness, that he was not feeling his way along, foot by foot. In one brief moment, I lived an entire year. Then, I heard the sharp crackle of the breaking branches. The cover of the pit gave way.
Ah, you've done well, Rainsford. Very well. Where did you get time? Your Burmese tiger pit has claimed one of my best dogs. And so you score again. I must see what you can do against my whole pack.
He went away again, but I just lay there in the swamp that night. At daybreak, I was awakened by a distant sound. Faint, wavering. The baying of a pack of hounds. I went up into a tree, down a watercourse. Not a quarter mile away, I could see the bush moving. I strained my eyes and saw the lean figure of General Zarov. Just ahead of him, I made out the gigantic Ivan holding the pack in leash. I prepared for a trick I'd learned in Uganda. I slipped from the tree, caught hold of a springy young sapling, and to it I fastened my knife, its blade pointing down the trail. With a bit of wild grapevine, I tied back the sapling and ran for my life. The hounds hit the fresh scent and raised their voices, and I knew how an animal at bay must feel. Even as I ran, the clamor of the hounds suddenly ceased. And with it, my heart stopped, for that meant they'd reached the knife. I climbed excitedly up a tree and looked back, and hope died in my heart. The general was still on his feet. Ivan, however, was not. The knife, driven by the recoil of the springing tree, had done its work. Then, the dogs took up the cry again, and I was on the ground once more. Nerve! Nerve! I panted the words over and over as I fled headlong. A blue gap showed through the trees dead ahead. I forced myself up on toward the gap and reached the sea. It lay 20 feet below me, rumbling and hissing. I stood a moment, poised over the edge. I heard the hounds. I knew it was the end. Then I leapt far out into the water.
Well, it's been busy day, Adam. A busy day. Oh, down. Down, Adam, down. What does matter, my boy? Hungry? All right. Catch. Quite a day. It is not perfect, of course. Two slight annoyances. One is, it will be difficult to replace Ivan. And the other, well, our quarry escaped us. Didn't he, Adam? Then, of course, the American didn't really play the game. So, we won't count it. We won't count it at all. All right, my boy. That's enough for now. Out you go. Refresh. Better luck another time. Rainsford.
Good evening.
How did you get here?
I swam. I found that quicker than walking through the jungle.
I congratulate you. You have won game.
No, General.
Yes, yes, of course you have.
I'm still a beast at bay. Get ready, General Zarov.
Splendid. One of us is to furnish meal for hounds. The other will sleep in very excellent bed. Good, Rainsford. Good. En garde.
The general was right. Never before in my life had I slept in a better bed.
That was The Most Dangerous Game by Richard Connell. Presented by Gherkin Radio Theater. With Ranger Fox as Rainsford, Ben Wegraff as General Zarov, and Stephen White as Whitney. Thank you.
Gherkin Radio Theater presents Gunsmoke, Episode 35, The Guitar.
Around Dodge City and in the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for, and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful, and a little bit lonely.
You sure are slow with that beer, Doc. Here I am, ready for another one.
Oh, yes, well, you had enough last night, Chester. Matt told me you were still asleep at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and it was mighty nice of him not to wake me up. Hey, Doc, are you sure he said he'd be back this afternoon?
Well, that's what he told me. Uh-oh. Now, what in the world is that fellow?
Who?
Just came in the door. See him? With Tyler and Short there?
Oh, him? Well, that's Weed Pendle. He rode in on a mule a couple days ago.
Well, which has bigger ears, him or his mule?
He is funny looking, all right. He acts pretty peculiar, too.
That's a scrawny mule, Pendle. I seen you on him this morning.
Yeah, Pendle here. He's kind of scrawny himself. Short. Maybe some beer will fatten him up a little.
I'd like some beer, all right. But I ain't got no money.
Well, why don't you just sell that guitar of yours?
Sell my guitar? No, I'd never do that.
Pendle, you must have a nickel at least.
Yeah, the last money I had got stole.
Now, who'd dare steal money off a tiger like you, Pendle?
I was asleep, you see, and I started to wake up, but then they kicked me in the head.
Now, Pendle, you call that thing a head? Looks like your neck growed out and haired over.
Yeah, I ain't very handsome.
You sure ain't. Bartender, three beers.
You buying, Tyler?
Oh, I'm proud to buy. Fine old soldier like Weed Pendle.
How'd you know I was a soldier?
Well, now, I didn't.
Where was you a soldier, Pendle?
Yeah, 3rd Illinois Cavalry.
Illinois? You were with the Yankees?
Yeah, I never done much. We had some hard luck and never got to see no real Confederates. Just a bunch of rag-tail bushwhackers in South Missouri. They were led by an old chicken thief, name of Klein.
Yes, they was. Tell me something else, Pendle. You ever get to kill any of Klein's men?
Yeah, a few, but before I got shot myself, they caught some of them after and hung them. But I never did see a hanging.
You never did see one?
No ways. I never did.
That's so. Well, Pendle, we know you're in luck. Seems how we're all kind of in the war together, so to speak. I'm going to show you a hanging. You about ready, ain't you, Short?
Yeah, my rope's on my saddle. I'll get it and meet you out back.
There's going to be a hanging? A real hanging?
Oh, sure there is. You're lucky, Pendle. You run into us just in time.
Here now, what are you talking about, Tyler? And who are you gonna hang?
It's kinda a surprise, Chester. You can watch, though.
Now, you know it's against the law to hang people around here.
I heard Marshal Dillon ride out of town this morning. Time he gets back, it'll all be over. Don't you try to buck me in Short, Chester. You'd die if you do. Now, come on, Pendle. Come on. We don't want to miss it.
Sure.
Now, what do you suppose they're up to, Doc?
I don't know, Chester, but I sure like to find out.
Yeah, I reckon we better. I sure do wish Mr. Dillon was here.
Oh, there they are.
Why, they're putting a rope around Pendle's neck.
Course, you're not going to get to see all of the hanging, Pendle. Just the start of it.
What are you hanging me for? I ain't done nothing.
You was in the 3rd Illinois Cavalry.
Well, sure I was.
We was fighting under that old chicken thief Klein in South Missouri. It's a pleasure to hang a Yankee like you.
But I only done what they told me to do. I didn't kill nobody on purpose.
Now you just wait a minute, you two. You've gone far enough.
Shoot him, Tyler.
You go shooting anybody, and you'll be the one to end up on the rope.
Doc ain't armed. He never is. Go on, Tyler.
All right, you try it. But you're sure gonna have to kill me before you hang him.
I'll kill you.
You'll have to kill me too, Tyler.
Mr. Dillon.
Where'd he come from?
Take your rope off that man's neck, and you do it quick.
Sure, Marshal, sure.
I told you you shouldn't hang me.
We is just funning, Marshal. We ain't gonna hang him.
What's this all about, Short?
He's a Yankee, Marshal. Killed a lot of us in Missouri during the war. We was gonna scare him and then run him off.
You forget about that. You forget about the war, too. It's over. Next time I catch you up to anything like this, you'll go to jail.
Go to jail over a dumb Yankee who don't know nothing but a skinny mule and a guitar?
Get out of here, Short. You too, Tyler.
Well, this Yankee better get out of here, too. Clean out a Dodge.
Shut up! And get moving.
See you later, Pendle.
I sure do thank you for letting me sleep in your jail last night, Marshal.
Where you been sleeping before, Pendle?
With my mule. I always do.
I hear you broke. What do you do for a living?
I never do nothing much, Marshal. Just ride around on my mule.
What about your guitar? Don't you ever play and take up a collection or something?
No, Marshal, I wouldn't do that.
Well, why not? Can't you play good enough?
I don't know, Marshal. I never played it for nobody to hear excepting me.
Yeah. Chester, take him over to the Long Branch, will you? Maybe Sam can give him a job of some kind.
It wouldn't be steady, would it?
Well, I don't know, but why shouldn't it be?
'Cause I'll be a-leaving in a day or two.
Oh? Where are you headed?
Nowheres.
Nowheres?
Just ride around on my mule. I always do.
Where are you from anyway, Pendle?
I was born in San Benito.
Oh, on the Rio Grande, huh?
Yeah, but I left. Took my guitar with me and never did go back.
Well, if you're from Texas, how come you fought in the Union Army?
I don't know. One army's just like another, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you're right at that.
I only done what they told me, Marshal.
Sure, take him over to Sam's, will you?
All right, sir.
I left my guitar out back. I'll go get it.
He sure is a peculiar little fella, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, and pretty helpless, too.
Do you think Short and Tyler will bother him anymore?
Well, knowing them, I believe they'd have hung him yesterday if they could. You tell Sam to let me know if they ever start talking to him again.
Yes, sir, I will. They're about the meanest pair of men I ever knew.
Yeah, they are. They'll think of something.
Well, Pendle said he's leaving in a day or two.
Yeah. I just hope it's soon enough. Sam gave Weed Pendle a job, sweeping up the saloon. He let him live in a tiny shack out back. He tried to get him to play his guitar, but Pendle wouldn't do it. We all began to think he probably didn't even know how. It was kind of hard to believe that anyone as simple as he was could learn to do anything. I looked up Short and Tyler, and I warned them again to leave him alone. They did. Until one morning a couple of days later. Chester and I had just come out of Delmonico's and were walking up Front Street.
Look over yonder, Mr. Dillon. Across the plaza there.
Yeah, I see him. Let's go over there.
Pendle and his mule.
Yeah. Tyler and Short, too. I told them to keep away from him.
Say, what are they laughing at?
Well, I guess there's no pleasing some men, Tyler.
Yeah, they're laughing. And he isn't.
What do you suppose they done to him?
Look at his mule, Chester. That's what they done.
Oh my goodness, why he's lost an ear.
You shouldn't have done that to my mule.
Did you men do this?
No, Marshal, we ain't done nothing to Pendle.
Did they do this, Pendle?
I tried to stop him, but Tyler held me. and they gave me the ear, Marshal. It's right here, see?
All right. Turn around, both of you.
What?
Turn around, I said! Now take their guns, Chester.
Yes, sir.
You can't do nothing to us, Marshal. We didn't hurt Pendle none.
I don't like what you did to his mule.
I got him.
All right, you can turn around now. I ought to cut an ear off each one of you. But I can't do that. So I'll do the next best thing. Leave him there, Chester. Pendle, I'm sorry about your mule.
He ain't much of a mule anymore.
Well, you go take care of him, huh? Maybe these two will leave you alone now.
Poor mule?
You know what Weed Pendle told me yesterday, Matt?
Well, it could have been most anything knowing him, Kitty.
No, this kind of made sense. I asked him if he was ever lonely, and he said, no, I never stayed anywhere long enough to get to know anyone that well.
Maybe he's not so strange after all.
Aw, now what are they up to?
Who?
Tyler and Short. They just come in with Pendle. Look, Matt, he's got his guitar with him.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, everybody. Now, wait a minute. Little Yankee's gonna play his guitar for us. At least he's gonna try, ain't you, Yank?
Don't shoot my mule.
We ain't gonna shoot your mule. Not if you play good enough. Go on, get started if you know how.
All right. I'll play it.
Oh, they're gonna kill his mule, Matt. You gotta stop this.
No. No. Wait a minute, Kitty. Just sit quiet and listen. He kind of surprised everybody.
Tyler and Short don't look too happy about it. Those bullies are leaving.
Yeah, they better.
Hello, Yankee.
Yeah, what?
You've been playing that guitar a long time in that saloon, ain't you, Pendle?
Yeah, they wanted me to. They liked it.
Me and Short been waiting to tell you how we liked it, too.
Yeah, let me see that guitar, Pendle.
No, you hurt my mule.
Give it to me.
I got a gun in your belly, Pendle. Don't you move.
I want my guitar.
You can have it. I just sort of want to tune it for you first. You know, that's another thing that's wrong with this guitar. It's a little too big for a man like you, but I can fix that, too. There you are, Yankee soldier.
All right, that I'll learn him. Let's go, Short.
Are they both dead, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Real dead. For several hours, at least.
Why, they must have been asleep when it happened, Doc.
It looks like Short there struggled a little. I guess Tyler got his first and woke up Short for a minute.
He wasn't awake for very long, Matt.
Just long enough to see who was cutting his throat, probably.
Well, he can't talk now. Well, I'm through here. What are you going to do?
We'll let the hotel worry about him. I guess it's Weed Pendle I want now.
And him such a mild little fella, too.
Any man could take just so much, Chester.
I sure hate to see poor Peddle hang for killing these two buzzards, Matt.
Chester, wait for me at the jail. I'll bring him over there as soon as I find him. Sam.
What'll it be, Marshal?
Where's Weed Pendle?
I just sent him out back for a bucket of sawdust. What you want him for?
Short and Tyler got their throats cut early this morning.
That's good.
I guess their smashing his guitar was too much for Pendle.
That's so. There he is now. Hey, Pendle. Come over here.
Morning, Marshal.
Morning, Pendle.
Pendle, where was he last night?
I don't know. Here, I guess.
You don't know?
Now, wait a minute, Marshal. Where was he? After they wrecked your guitar, Pendle.
Well, I sat in the alley a while, and then I come back in here.
That's right. He was so broke up about his guitar, I didn't want to leave him alone, so I put him on the floor of my room. Ain't that right, Pendle? Go on. Tell him now.
Sure, that's right.
Are you trying to alibi for him, Sam?
Why, no, Marshal. What do I care about him?
Yeah, there's some people care about me.
Who? Who cares about you, Pendle? Tell me.
Those men.
What men?
He's just talking, Marshal. He means some of the boys who were here. When he came back with his busted guitar, Marshal. Just told them how sorry they were. That's all.
Uh-huh. They liked his music, didn't they?
They like to hear me play.
Who was in here then, Sam?
Well, now, Marshal, you know how it is. Busy pouring drinks. I don't pay no mind to who's here and who ain't. Couldn't rightly say at all.
Okay, Sam. I guess I can't beat the truth out of you.
Marshal, who cares about Tyler and Short? Dodge is better off without him.
There's a law against murder. And it's the same for everybody. Well, I'll be back later.
What you gonna do now, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I've done all I can, Chester. The whole town's just plain quit talking. Nobody knows anything.
I reckon they're all protecting Pendle.
Well, they are. But he didn't do it.
Well, who did?
Well, if I could prove who did it, Chester, I'd have him in jail. You know that. Chester, come over here a minute.
Why, I declare, looks to me like he's leaving town.
Yeah, I told him he could go.
He looks funnier than ever on that poor old one-eared mule.
Yeah. Dodge treated Pendle pretty rough.
Sure did. Poor little fella. Looks kinda empty-like without his guitar, don't he?
Well, maybe he'll find another one somewhere. Anyway, they sure like to hear him play in this town. Sam, I figure, and a couple of the other boys. Yeah. They liked it just fine.
Gunsmoke, the guitar, presented by Gherkin Radio Theater, with Shailen Cochran as the narrator, Ranger Fox as Marshal Dillon, Alex Holloman as Short, Rory Tutte as Doc, Justin Boot as Tyler, Brian Mazurek as Chester, Ben Kirkland as Sam, Sally Cassano as Kitty, and Stephen White as Pendle. Thank you to Gherkin Radio Theater. To get in touch and to participate in an upcoming production, visit Gherkin Radio Theater on Facebook. And listen to all the Gherkin episodes on kdll.org.